Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
To the hook, to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget. Live, not so live, from the low budget live bar and bunker. Soon to be the low budget live bar and grill again, because the state of Tennessee is fixing to open back up in phases, and we're going to be open for business. And it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be insanity. I have a feeling, but we're gonna open back up in phases. The governor has spoken, and I think it's this. Let's see, what's today? April 27th, Monday. Recording this on Monday early in the morning because we didn't get one done yesterday. But Gonna be crazy. I think it's April 30th, maybe we start opening back up. They're gonna have restaurants at 50% capacity. I don't even know. I mean, you can see I haven't shaved, I haven't had a haircut, look like a Sasquatch a little bit, except I'm a lot shorter than a Sasquatch. But gonna be some wild times coming up, I think. You know, they did a damn drive through. I'm sorry, that makes me laugh. A drive through COVID-19 testing in my hometown yesterday. Drive through. And I didn't go by there because I figured it looked like when the fair comes to town. Because people were like, I'm going to go see if I got it. And, they did one yesterday for like 3 hours. So I'm sure our numbers will grow dramatically. I'm all over the place with this deal. I know y'all know that from week to week to week. And you can see my insanity slowly creeping in. But, you know, I'm all over the place with it. I think it's very serious, and at the same time, I'm just like, you know, seeing what it's doing to the economy, and I see what, you know, that it's become very political, it seems, at times, and I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'm on the fence. I know people that have been affected by it personally, and it's super scary. Obviously lost some heroes, musical heroes during this thing. I just don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. And obviously y'all didn't tune in to a fishing podcast thinking that I would have the answer. But I think that, you know, I've been really proud of the way people have responded, though, for the most part, especially on social media and trying these live things and trying to throw things out there to keep people entertained, keep themselves entertained. And but man, I'm just kind of ready to get back on the road. I'm ready to film a Boats and Pros. This is all selfish stuff, but we can be selfish. Been getting to fish with my boys a ton. That's been fun, but I miss baseball. I miss my kids playing baseball. I miss a lot of things. I miss my friends, you know. So this is crazy. So we'll see. Tennessee's going to open up by phases, and I think they're going to, you know, throw it out there a little bit, and then they're going to do some testing. And we'll throw it out there and do some testing. Nobody wants to be first. I think that's the problem, and that's the politics of it and the, you know, the media part of it, is nobody wants to say, all right, you guys try going back to normal lives. And I understand until there's a vaccine and until there's some answers to this, that's how it will be. But we've had 160 deaths, I think, in the state of Tennessee that have been, have been associated with this, you know. Basically, I'm just trying not to read anything at this point, because if you read one article, you're like, this is crazy. This is all fake. Read another article, you're like, the world's coming to an end. So I don't know. I'm trying not to look at the news too much. Actually, Joe Rogan posted that this week. You know, Trump made his comments about bleach or whatever. I didn't actually even see the thing, but people are now drinking bleach. And Joe Rogan said, I've just got to turn the news off. This is insanity. That it has to be said, hey, maybe you shouldn't take Lysol into your body. And I haven't seen the speech where Trump said that, and I'm sure it's a misquote and blown out of proportion by the media, I have no doubt. But he apparently said something along those lines, and people did it, I think. It's like when I heard people were eating Tide Pods, you know? It's like Darian sticking a hook in his arm on YouTube. You know, you just don't, there's just some things you don't do. Stupid Darian. Speaking of stupid Darian, he's been doing these Saturday Night Lives, and he's doing these unboxings now, and I challenge all of you, go find his P.O. box number and send him a lot of stuff with LBL on it, or For Low Budget Live, or Darian, You Suck, or whatever. And it's, I didn't get to watch this past Saturday night. I watched last week and got on there and commented. But this Saturday night, this past Saturday night, he's doing one. He had a pretty good crowd, he said. And somebody, one of you lowlifers out there, sent him a bottle of StarTron. And that was so funny to me. And I woke up yesterday morning to, I'd been tagged in a couple things on Instagram about it. And his smart aleck self took it and shook the star. He shook that StarTron. Well, you know what? That's my deal. And you steal everything. You're an idiot. At Darian is Fishing. If y'all aren't following him, I know you probably are if you're here, but make sure you are. But yeah, that really, I woke up yesterday morning and that made me laugh really hard that he was like, shaking StarTron, being a smart aleck towards me, like always. But it was, it's all fun. I love that somebody sent him some StarTron. That was awesome. Low Budget Live brought to you by StarTron. As always, the fine folks at StarTron and Star Bright Solutions down there in Florida. Good people. And if your vehicles are sitting around a lot right now and you're not driving them, you need to put some StarTron in your tank. Put it in your tank. It kicks ethanol right in the teeth. If you're not getting to fish, if you're in one of these states where they're insane and they're not letting you fish, you're going to want to pour a little of that in there. You don't want that gas sitting in there with that ethanol in it. If you put gas with ethanol in your boat, I still, even if you're running that high octane, son, you better drop you some StarTron in the tank. I don't care if your vehicle says it fights it. Drop it in there. Put it in your weed eater. Put it in your chainsaw. StarBright Cleaning Solutions. Cleaning up the boats. Mine doesn't look like I've used StarBright in a while because me and the boys fished like 3 days in a row this weekend, and it's trashed right now. Fished in the rain Saturday in a freaking monsoon. So I'm going to have to break the StarBright out. But thanks to those folks for always supporting Low Budget Live. Make sure if you enjoy this at all that you're supporting those people. And even if you don't enjoy it, support the people that support freedom of speech, first of all, which is a key to this podcast. And, you know, support the industry. They support many pros. They support bass fishing, saltwater fishing, and a lot of TV shows and things. So hats off to those folks. And they are throttling down big time. Not back, down, putting the hammer down right now during all this craziness when a lot of companies are like, hey, we're just going to ease back a little bit. No, they're being aggressive and they're supporting the folks that they sponsor, and that's awesome. Love those guys. And I'm going to try to get a couple of those guys on here in the next couple of weeks, I think, from StarTron, because I think that'll be fun. Mr. Gregor Dornow, the man at StarTron, is one of my favorite folks in the world, and I want to try to have him on here. Speaking of guests, so last week, you guys, mixed reviews on the Lunkers TV, having Mr. Rob on, and I appreciate Rob coming on. I caught some flack for having him on from certain people, and then I saw a lot of positive comments, a lot of people that said they weren't fans of his or didn't know anything about the Guggen Squad that listened to it and you know, formed an opinion based off the podcast. And that's what I'm trying to do here, okay? For those of you that are new to the podcast, or for those of you that have followed for a long time and wonder, oh man, why is he not always talking about MLF? Well, because, I mean, if that brought you here, me, you know, a controversial podcast, that's just not me all the time. And I have said I will cover what's going on and try to talk about it. And right now, everything, and I did talk about what's kind of going on in bass fishing last week, but I wanted to have Rob on. Like I said, he and I talked about it and had him on, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that interview. I'm glad a lot of you did too. And if you didn't, you know, I challenge you to this. I like listening to opposing views. I like listening to people I don't know that much about. So that's why I'm going to have somebody on. You know, I think the overwhelming thing that I've seen in the comments from a few people is, you know, obviously I'm a part of the Sixth Sense fishing family. Love their stuff. If you watch any of my videos, you see them, you know that. Have been for going on 4 years now. And love that company. There was some beef between the Guggen squad on some crankbait designs, and Ben Milliken made a video describing that to a T. And a lot of people were like, why didn't you ask him about that? Because that wasn't the interview I was going to do. That wasn't the interview I wanted to do. And that's that. I wanted to get to know more about the Guggen squad history, because they're doing things that people have not done before. So for anybody that's commenting, you know, that I didn't go after that, I didn't bring Rob on for it to be a firefight. I had, any of you that have followed this podcast for very long know that I had, you know, I had Tim Horton on and Gerald Spoyer from MLF at a time when, you know, the water was boiling, so to speak, and all that was going on. And hell, I let those guys, and they had said things about me, and I had said things about them, and I had those guys on and let them speak. That's what this platform is for me. So if you don't like a guest I have on, you don't have to watch that week. You can come back the next week, and hopefully it'll be more suiting, and you know, that's my thing. But I wasn't dodging anything by not asking Rob about the Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense has never came out of his mouth to me at all, not one time in any conversation. Granted, we haven't had a lot of conversations, but it hasn't, and it wasn't about that for me. And this podcast is about, you know, and will always be for me, it's a platform for me to kind of get things off my chest, to talk to you guys, to connect with you guys through the comments, and I appreciate each and every one, even the Mom's Basement comments, but just because they make me laugh. But, you know, just because you don't agree with something doesn't mean you have to just like blow it up or whatever. So just wanted to address that real quick. Thank you to everybody for watching every week. Thank you for listening every week. Like I said, I have favorite podcasts of mine. They don't always have people on that I like, you know, it's just kind of how that goes. So deal with it. And I'm just kidding. Don't deal with it. I'm not saying that, but drop some comments below, some guests that you'd like for me to reach out to. I am, that's what I'm trying to do, set up the next few weeks. That was just allergies, guys. That was not Corona. Chill out. Maybe I should have gone to the drive-thru test, and I'm gonna curse myself here. Text my guest. But drop me some comments on some guests that you would like to see, and I'll do my best to get them on, or repeat guests that we've had. You know, really trying to structure out the next few weeks, and while things are just, you know, there's not current news going on in the fishing world other than John Cox rehabilitating a 10-pound bass in his bathtub right now. I forgot. I was going to open the show with that. I actually wrote that in my notes. Go look at John Cox's Instagram. Stop right now. Hit pause on this. Go look. If you're driving down the road, listen to this. Hit pause if you're listening to this on Monday, because it's on his Instagram story. But he has a 10-pounder in the bathtub, and it's got a huge gash on its side, and it looks like he thinks it might have been attacked by an alligator. It got attacked by something, but it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He has a 10-pounder in a bathtub, and it made it through the night, and I've been keeping up with it, like, and I don't know what John and I were talking about it this morning, texting back and forth, but please, that's the most current bass fishing news I got. And if you're not following John Cox on Instagram, you're missing it, because he fed a bass a dead bird. A peep at Easter, like this. I love John Cox. He's one of my favorite human beings of all time, and He is rehabilitating a 10-pounder. My guest today is another one of my favorite humans in fishing, for sure. We tried to do this. Oh, this was going to be the first podcast of the year, as a matter of fact, or the last podcast of the year, December 30th. And I got some notes right here from it. And the audio screwed up. And I am fingers crossed praying that it doesn't happen again today. But my guest has won a little over $500,000 with the Bass Masters. He has 13 top 10s. He has 3 wins. He has been to 2 classics and 3 now with this one in the books. And he is one of the most real dudes you can imagine in fishing. And let's get him on the phone right now. See what happens right here.
Luke Duncan.
What's up, Seth Fider? I just gave you a really good intro. I tell everybody that, though. I did. But I think bass fishing needs Seth Fider now more than ever.
Do they?
Yeah, you're the hero we all need, man. I just keep up with your Instagram. You and John Cox on social media just keep me going because you're out shooting stuff. You're out catching stuff. You're just real, and that's what we need right now, I think.
Did you see him feed that bird to his pet bass?
I did, but what I was talking about, listen.
I think there'll be a state record in about a year.
And see, everybody's like, oh, John's so funny. Look, he's feeding that thing a Snickers. Oh, he's feeding it a protein bar. Oh, he's doing this. No, he's trying to catch the world record in his damn backyard. That's what he's trying to do off the bed, and he will. He will. So
what I was going to be 30 pounds pretty soon.
No doubt, dude.
Be all ham.
Yeah. So right before I called, I was talking about on his Instagram right now, he has a 10-pounder in his bathtub. I don't know if he's rehabilitating a 10-pounder that he said last night got attacked by an alligator. And the first thing I did when I woke up this morning was check his Instagram because – I think he's calling it Walter, but it made it through the night. You need to go look. I mean, you just can't make this crap up, dude. But
I have to go check it out.
Yeah. It's on his story right now. I was texting with him. I'm like, just when I thought you were my favorite person ever, then you have a bass in your bath. That's bigger than most people will ever catch.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he lives a wild man life down there. But, so, how are things in the quarantine going for you, buddy, and the fam?
Oh, just on lockdown, trying to not die from the Wuhan flu.
What? So, what's Minnesota like right now? Are they? That's always when I talk to folks right now. That's what I want to know more than anything is what's your state? What have they done about it? What have y'all been having to do?
They just closed a bunch of stores. It's basically like 4th of July weekend every day.
Dude, same here.
Yeah. My buddy went to Lake Minnetonka yesterday, and Lake Minnetonka has like 10 big boat ramps on it, and he went in the afternoon. He could not get a spot.
That's how the Tennessee River is right now. I mean, I know you realize that. It goes without saying, but, dude, it's always like that this time of year anyways, but then with this going on, it looks like, like you said, 4th of July. I told my wife that this weekend. 4th of July, that's what it looks like every day.
Every day. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday.
Yeah. Same. I took my boys last Tuesday afternoon down to Pickwick, and, dude, we parked in the grass there in Florence at the main boat ramp, you know, and had to park out in the grass. I'm going, I guess everybody got laid off or has corona and just decided to go fishing. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That's insane. And y'all's bass season hasn't officially opened up there yet, right?
No, it hasn't. So we got the Mississippi River, which is border waters. So they let you fish there all year. That's where I've been fishing the last week. And then the only thing open on our lakes is panfish. So a lot of guys, the crappies are just getting destroyed right now.
Oh, yeah. This has been, my dad and I were talking about this. This has been hail on the bass in Tennessee. It's been hell on the crappie population. It's been hell on the turkey population in Tennessee. Yeah. Our numbers will go down significantly. I saw you. I saw you've been turkey hunting some up there.
Yeah, that kind of worked out this year. This year, Minnesota was always a draw state for a turkey tag, and this year they made it over the counter. So,
oh, really?
The same thing's going to happen. It kind of worked out. I got to get a tag because I didn't apply or whatever, but Yeah, the turkey population is going to take a hit. That's for sure.
Do you guys have a draw because of the population? I mean, are the numbers just low in Minnesota?
I don't know. It's just kind of always been that way, and I think they finally got to the point where it's like, okay, we have more than enough turkeys. Let's just do it over the counter.
I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Has it been nice being home though? A little bit. I know we're all missing normalcy. Tournaments and traveling, but we're never home this time of year. And this is a special time of year for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, yeah. No, I've spent more time with my wife and kids last couple months than I for sure normally would this time of year.
Oh, yeah, man. That's been nice. And my boys are so fired up about fishing right now because normally they're playing baseball, you know, just league ball. And so it's like every night we're at the ballpark if I'm in town. And it's been nice being home, eating dinner with them every night, home cooked meals. And then this morning, as soon as my 12-year-old got up, he's like, "Hey, Dad, when are we going to go back to Wheeler?" You know, he's like, because we went down there this weekend and caught some. And he's like, "When are we going back?" I'm like, "That's, you know, that makes me proud. Makes me feel like I'm doing something right, you know."
Yeah.
I dang sure haven't killed any turkeys. I will say that. I see all these guys posting them, and I'm super jealous. I don't have every property that I've got to hunt in Tennessee, man. We took a hit a few years ago. And oddly enough, they think it's some kind of weird flu.
Really?
Yeah, and dude, we lost a lot of birds, and these two farms that I've hunted, I deer hunt on, and we had a few birds during the fall, and they're just gone right now, and I haven't been able to do anything much with them. I've public land hunted some, and it's the same on a lot of our public land around here, just in my area in Tennessee. If you drive 30 minutes north, like, you run over them with your damn truck on the interstate. Like, they're just everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but right here in my county, the southern part of Tennessee, there's like three counties around me that are just devastated. Population
really?
is, it's crazy, man. And but they haven't backed off on any regulations or anything like that. You can still kill as many as you always have, but there's pockets of them, you know, but it's crazy. So it's a lot more difficult than it was. Like, when I was a kid, it was not hard to go, you know, find a property that had them and hunt them. So it's been frustrating because I've been home. I haven't been, you know, having to do a lot, so I could turkey hunt it every day, but I haven't I haven't got a lot of birds. So yeah, dude. So I've been jealous, like, peeping all the pics on Instagram. All my buddies smashed them all over the country. So, dude, are you guys right now? I know y'all are going through a time, man, as pro anglers, and I've talked about this a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Have you seen any hits from sponsors, so to speak? Not to get too personal, but are you talking with your sponsors? Are any of them putting any plans to cut things back with all this going on? Are they sticking by your side? What's going on? Like, I saw you take over, I guess it was a Rappel Instagram or something the other day. And so obviously, I mean, I know they got your back. A lot of mine are all in right now and trying to come up with ways to create content and different things. But what are you seeing right now in the sponsor world?
Personally, I haven't had any issues, but I know there is some guys that are getting cut back and, you know, they're missing quarterly payments and whatnot. I personally haven't had an issue yet, but, I know a lot of those companies are hurting, so that money dries up. It's going to trickle down to us, too. I know that's coming, but at the moment, I haven't had an issue yet.
That's good, man. I know. I think that we'll definitely see some of that, and that's kind of what I've talked about on the show is, you know, unfortunately, marketing budgets are the first thing. Any of these companies, if they see a profit hit, they're like, "Oh, marketing." That's always, and that's what I've always said too. So hard about being a pro fisherman or an influencer or YouTuber or whatever. If you make your living off of people's marketing budgets, man, it can be really stressful. And so I know that that y'all go through that for sure, and I went through it too when I fished. And and then you rely on tournament earnings a lot. And so I know right now it's got to be a difficult time. Are you guys talking with Bass? I know that y'all are a really tight-knit group after everything that happened last year. You seem like a real tight-knit group, especially with the organization. Yeah. Are you guys talking to Bass weekly or monthly? Or what's going on with that as far as a plan? How are they relaying that to you guys right now?
I'd say weekly. They keep us in the loop. But at the same time, you know, nobody really knows nobody's gotten answered when all this is going to start.
So
they throw some proposed schedules at us, which look horrible for duck hunting, but you know, it is what it is. But you know, the last schedule they threw at us, it had us fishing into December.
Wow.
And that was with us going to the Sabine first week of June, and they just canceled that a few days ago. So,
so that one is off the books
into
now.
January, I don't know.
Well, I mean, other than missing duck season, do you have a problem getting it in then, though? I mean, if you can fish the rest of the schedule, and what's the feeling of all the guys right now? Are you that you're talking to? I mean, do y'all want to fish in the fall? I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, you want to fish when it was scheduled, but.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get the season done no matter what we got to do. I mean, even if it pushes back next year's schedule and we end up fishing, you know, a year straight, that doesn't bother me. I want to fish the tournaments for sure. Sooner they start, the better, but, you know.
Do you like fishing in the fall? Is that, I mean, I know you're a big duck hunter, but is that something you get to do a lot?
Yeah, I mean, historically I do really well in the fall, but, you know, it's not the same. You know, you go to some of them play, like, take that Eufaula tournament, for example. We go there in March, everybody had 20-some pounds. Now we're going to probably end up there in September, October, and you're going to be throwing a shaky head praying for five keepers.
It's,
you know,
a different ball. Everything changes after about August.
Yeah.
From a fan standpoint, man, and I've talked about this a bunch, but – I loved the Bassmasters I grew up with, and that was those old top 100s. And I know you watched a ton of that too and grew up with that. But that they started in the fall, man. They would start at the Potomac River in August. That would be their first tournament, you know, and then they would go through hell December and then pick back up. And you had truly the guy that won Angler of the Year in those years. He called them through almost every stage. I mean, you think about like the Mark Davis in 95, those guys, I mean, dude, they called them through every single stage a bass goes through. I thought those were the coolest years. And I understand for scheduling reasons and for different things, TV, a lot of things changed, you know, with that. But I don't know. I think this is, you know, you make what you can out of it. And I think that if you guys fish in the fall, for fans and from like learning new techniques, I think it could be really cool. I'm excited to see it play out. And I hope and pray that we get to fish this fall. Cause like you said before, really there's no telling what's going to happen right now. We don't know.
Especially with all the states we go to, and
yes,
we got three guys in Canada. Like, who knows when they open that border?
Absolutely. Cause it's all shut down right now. Yeah. I'm going to try to have those guys on here in the next couple of weeks too. Hopefully, because I'll talk to them about that, because it's shut down now, and that's going to be an interesting thing. So, but right now, so Sabine's off, and then when would you think? Would you think that they're trying to shoot for like July?
I mean, they're as soon as we can go, I guess. But we got that June tournament. We're supposed to be back to back the next week on Lake Fork.
That's right.
I don't see that happening either. I mean. And then after that, we're supposed to go to New York, I believe, which, you know, as far as the states go, that's the one that got hit the worst. So
no doubt. Yeah. No.
I don't know. And then we might be going to some different venues too. You know, if we're supposed to have two in New York, if they say you guys can't come, we might end up somewhere we weren't planning on going.
Yeah. That one, that state, because I know FLW is scheduled to go up there for a couple things too. And I think that state, I don't know, man. I just don't see them wanting, you know, 100 guys from all over the country coming in and letting that go down. I mean, who knows? Because they are, you know, they are the hardest hit and are going through it up there. Tennessee right now, they're opening back April 30th. They're going to start. They're trying it in phases. And nobody wants to be the first one to do that, right? Because then if you have this crazy outbreak. But they're going to try it. The governor stepped out there. And they have a plan, and they released it, and it's, you know, sporting events and things are like in phase four of it, and that's by like the first week of June. But I mean, they're fixing to let restaurants go back to like 50% capacity and takeout, and they're fixing to try this. So hopefully, you know, you hope that it goes well and it's good. Yeah, get the economy back going and get people to not be terrified.
Pull the Band-Aid off.
What's that?
I think it's time to pull the Band-Aid off.
I'm with that. I'm kind of you know, 2 months in hiding here, man. I'm going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, what are we going to do? Sit in our house for the rest of our life? Because there's a flu running around. I mean,
yeah, I don't know, man. It's definitely serious, but at the same time, I'm needing to get some normalcy back in my life, and that people can call that selfish or whatever. I don't care, but it's nuts, man. I miss watching my kids play ball, and I miss watching you guys smash some fish. But talking about that overall feel of the elites, I talked about how you guys were a tight knit group. Is that, I know we've only had a couple events, but the Classic really felt like that to me this year. I thought it was a great Classic. And I know that you were expecting to catch them a little bit, and your water got muddy on you, and then it cleared up that last day, and you smashed them up. But is that still that way in 2020? I know 2019 was super tight knit.
Yeah.
But is that still the overall feel right now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still rocking, man. It's pretty amazing. It's not like any other year I ever fished the elites. So,
and you really,
it's a lot more fun.
And it really seems like to me that the brass there, they're really taking into account everything with you guys, and with the shakeup, I think that was very smart. You know, they had to listen to the anglers more, and they've done that. And so it's still that way, even in planning this craziness, they're really leaning on y'all. Is there a certain group of guys, or is it like, are there 10 of y'all that they lean on, or is it, hey,
no,
this is our group?
Everybody, man. It doesn't matter if you're a rookie or Rick Klon, they're talking to you and taking your input.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Speaking of Rick Klon, he has a YouTube channel now. I don't know if you know that. So
it's
YouTube,
awesome.
It is so freaking great.
Yeah.
If y'all aren't,
I can listen to that dude talk about the old baits forever.
Dude, I probably have told this story on here, but when I was like 19, I was going to fish the Opens. There were no college tournaments or anything, and I decided they were coming to Pickwick, Lake Martin, and then Lake Murray, which I'd never been to, but the other two, I fished a bunch, and I live right at Pickwick, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. So got my dad's boat, old Triton. I'm like, I'll fish them. So the Classic, though, leading up to that summer was in Birmingham, and I was in the Nitro Boats booth, and Rick Klon was there, and I walked up to him, and I was never a cocky kid at all, but kind of confident, but I like to just walk up and, you know, meet my heroes. That's how I made friends with so many people. Like, hey, I'm Luke, and this is what I do. And then I let them decide whether they like me or not, I guess. But Rick, I walked up to him. It was him and his wife, Mr. Klon. And I'd met him like a couple times as a kid, running around with a hat, getting autographs at Pickwick at top 100s and stuff, you know. But I was like, Mr. Klon, I'm Luke Duncan. And I was trying to get everything in. Like, when you meet a famous person, I feel like a lot of people, they try to get everything in about their life in about a minute to make them think, to make them remember the moment, I guess. But I'm like, Mr. Klon, I'm Luke Duncan. I'm fishing the Bassmaster Opens, and I'm doing this. And he put his arm like around me. I'll never forget this. And he says, Luke, you've got a lot of nervous energy. If you can learn to harness that, you'll do well. And I was like, what just happened? But that was my first experience with Rick Klon being like, I'm going to fish against you. And then he fished the Opens that I fished that year. And I'll never forget the first morning of practice at Lake Murray in South Carolina, backing the boat down. And he was backing in at the same time. And I was like, oh boy, what have I got myself into here? And Brower fished them. Denny fished those, caught the heck out of them. Of course, in those, man, those were the freaking days, dude. But I'm really proud to hear that it's going like that for y'all, and I hope that we can get back to it really, really soon. I know it seems like Gerald made the comment on the show, whenever he retires one day, he's going to write a book about logos, egos, and psychos.
I
think that a lot of those egos have kind of been knocked down a little bit right now. So I think that's definitely a good thing. I think all of our egos have taken a shot with this, and we realize there are things more important than what we've been doing sometimes. So we tried this interview. I said that earlier, but we tried this interview in December, and it was killer. And my freaking recording software screwed up halfway through it, and I missed like 20 minutes of the damn interview. And I've got some notes because we talked about some stuff then that I want to talk about again. What do you think it is about Minnesota that's so special. And I've been there. I love fishing in Minnesota. I fished with your boy Kyle Wood and my boy Kyle Wood this past fall. It was really special because you can go to one lake that's, you know, a smallmouth only kind of deal, or you can go to a river and I think that there are certain pockets of the country, the Carolinas, you got the Brian Thrifts, Todd Altons, you know, Matt Aries over there, Chris Baumgartner, an old name, but then lots and lots of Shane LaHughes and Brandon Cobbs, that little cluster area over there. And then you got the Texas guys, and you got the Bama guys, the Tennessee River guys, Florida guys. What do you think it is about Minnesota? Because for rednecks down here, you know, they're not thinking about those Midwest guys coming down here and punching a big weight and punching them right in the face. But what do you think it is that's so special about Minnesota?
Just the amount of water and the fisheries we have. Like, it's not down south. We don't have 10 pounders, and yeah, our lakes are frozen for half the year, so that kind of sucks. But, I mean, every kid growing up in Minnesota has a lake within biking distance of his house. You know what I mean? And we don't have our ponds will freeze out here, so we don't have that opportunity like a lot of guys do down south. But, you know, every kid growing up here has the opportunity to fish. They're close, and fishing's easy too. That helps, you know, get a guy going. And, you know, you go to places like Ohio River, I can't believe any professional bass fishermen come out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Bill Lowen.
Take a kid out and go to any lake in Minnesota and go catch a bunch of bass. You know,
get a lot of bites on a lot of different techniques. So yeah, that probably helps you.
Our fishing's real easy. So, dude, I can pick up a bait I've never seen before, a new technique, something like that. I can go out to, you know, most of the lakes in the state and go get 30, 40 bites on it in an afternoon and, you know, really learn a lot about, you know, how to set the hook on it or what the bite feels like on it. Or if you do this, you get bit, you know, little tricks and stuff. So it's really easy to, you know, get a lot of bites on a bait and build some confidence in it and stuff like that. It's just the biggest struggle for the guys coming from Minnesota is going to be, you know, reservoir fishing. We got all natural lakes and then Mississippi River. So our lake's set up quite a bit different, but, you know, it's easy to fall in love with fishing growing up in Minnesota.
And there's a cluster of guys coming from that part of the world, man, that just wreck them. And I've been fortunate to get to know guys like you and Josh Douglas, and Chad Smith, the co-angler super wizard from up there. But so many good guys from up there, and I'm missing a bunch, and y'all don't be slapping me around in the comments if I missed you. I'm sorry. But it's an interesting place. The people are so, I feel like they're so good there. When you drive, like Kyle and I, once you get out of the hustle and craziness of the Twin Cities, it's just like another world, man. It's one of my, I told Kyle last fall, I'm like, dude, I want to buy a place. Like, this is where I want to be in life, you know, for probably 6 months of the year.
Yeah. And then it's don't come there in January.
No. I would never say that. Yeah. I will never say that in January. You don't have to worry about that. My blood's way too thin for that crap. But I respect that area, man. And I get it after coming there, why everybody is so good. And I think there's a lot to be said. Like you're saying, you see a lot of people, they may shoot videos on smaller lakes, private lakes, and people automatically want to jump on them. Sometimes, oh, anybody can catch them in a pond, or anybody can catch that kind of stuff. But there's something to be said for learning techniques. And that's why I like fishing small lakes a lot, because like you said, learning to set the hook, these are things that a lot of people overlook. Getting a lot of bites is a good thing when you're, especially when you're learning something. Hey, I've never dropped you, and I get those messages, and I know you do. Hey, man, how do you learn how to fish a Ned rig, or how do you learn how to do? Well, you just go fishing with it. I mean, that's the only way to practice that. You can watch all the videos you want, but until you get that bite and feel what it's like, you're not going to learn.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. Okay, so where did this llama thing start?
Oh, that's a Mark Zona story.
It's that's Zona.
Yeah, he can tell it.
Okay.
It's really not that great of a story. Basically, we went up to Lake Ontario to shoot a Zona fishing show. got basically ended up getting stuck in the hotel for like 3 days because it blew 40 miles an hour every single day, and we just sat around and drank beers and got stupid. And
that's the show I want to see.
That birthed the llama.
So that's where the llama came from,
yeah.
Sitting in a hotel. And that's where the best thing, if you get Mark pinned up, you know, like an alley dog or something, alley cat, and he gets a little crazy, the crap that'll come out of his mouth,
oh, yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah, he's insane.
He's truly, the way his mind works, man, he needs to be in the Smithsonian down in Washington, D.C. one of these days.
Probably.
And you guys are going to try to film coming up soon at some point?
Yeah, we're shooting out to Wisconsin here pretty quick.
Heck yeah, dude. That's awesome. I love the Zona Llama combos are always good.
Yeah.
I guess, what was it, the lake you guys went to in Minnesota that you'd never been to? So that's been a couple years ago now, and you caught so freaking many. Or was that one he did by himself? It was a lake you put him on. I can't remember. I just remember talking to him on the phone.
With Mark Daniels Jr. Okay. He went to the,
I think,
to the place in Minnesota where literally no humans ever bass fish.
Yeah, I think that was it. And he called me afterwards and was like, dude, this is completely stupid, but I think you would put him on it. Like, hey, go try this. Go check this out.
Well, I got a couple buddies that fish out there. I hooked him up with them. And
that's awesome.
They put him on them. I've never been out there. It's a pretty good drive from my house, but it's full of lakes, little cluster of lakes out there. And
that's awesome.
Literally never been bass fish.
That's awesome.
Very
cool. See, that's what I need. I'm so sick of these Tennessee River freaking. Yeah. They see 10,000 swim baits, 10,000 6XDs, 10,000 jigs, and they're like, "Nah." I do feel when I catch them on the Tennessee River, I feel like a badass. What's up? Yeah. What's up now? When you get one like to really eat a swim jig, and you're like, "What's up, stupid?" That must be a dumb one, or I'm really smart. Either or, like it's insane right now how these fish are getting pounded on, dude. And I hate it because it's during the spawn, and this is when they're the dumbest a lot of the time. And man, I know they're getting their heads yanked on right now, big time. I'm all for people catching fish, but I don't want them educated much more than they already are. All right, dude. One last question, and this is the most important one that you're going to answer today. How many Mountain Dews are you drinking right now during quarantine a day? Let's hear it.
Nothing's changed really. Start out with a couple cups of coffee in the morning, then two or three 20-ounce dews a day, and same old, same old.
Rock on. I like it.
I've been snacking a lot more though.
Dude, don't eat. Dude, before the classic, I lost Corey and I, Big C. We had a weight loss challenge, the fat ass challenge, and I beat him, and I lost like 25 pounds. And I've gained like 6 or 7 back during this quarantine, not too many, but like I just feel like crap because I'm not exercising or anything. Like, and I had gotten into that routine, and dude, since all this hit, I'm just like, man, Doritos. I forgot how great Doritos are. Like Cool Ranch Doritos, dude. Little Debbie's Cool Ranch Doritos. And of course, I got a house full of damn kids, so it's like the junk food is around. If you want it, it's here. The Dunkin' House has the snacks, so I feel you on that, dude. It's not, we've been drinking Kool-Aid, dude. When was the last time you had a good pitcher of Kool-Aid? Come on, man.
Man, it's been
dude
a long time.
Well, my kids like they'll drink Capri Suns and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, hey, being a cheapskate dad, I'm like, we're fixing to make some Kool-Aid around here. Y'all aren't gonna be here all day, every day, sucking down these Capri Suns. And us have to go to the store. So, dude, we go through about 3 pitchers of Kool-Aid a day. But I've been indulging a little bit in that tropical punch. I'm not gonna lie, buddy. All right, Fighter. I hope you and the family stay healthy through all this, buddy. I know it's crazy, but hopefully we can rip that Band-Aid off, go back to smacking bass sooner than later, dude.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Heck yeah, dude. All right, I really appreciate it, Seth. Take it easy, man.
Yeah, we'll see you,
Thanks. Seth Fighter. It's a good time. It's a good time. He is a good'un. An old good'un right there. So funny, man. So funny. And just I like people that are real, you know? it's where it's not a routine. Some things that some people do in all all facets of life are forced. They try too hard, I feel like, you know, and I think there's, and whether that's music or fishing or freaking the NBA, whatever you want to talk about, there are people that force things, but the folks that rise above that are the people that are real and the people that stay true to themselves and stay true to their families and stay true just to their roots. And I think Seth does that better than anybody in this sport. And I freaking applaud him for that. And gosh, he can catch them. He can freaking catch them. He puts on that little, you know, well, you know, Minnesota and they're dumb, but he catches them everywhere he freaking goes, man. It's always fun talking to Seth, and I'm glad we got that in. I think the audio held up for once. So low budget. It's a low budget. To quote Mark Jeffries, he said, well, let me know if you want to go to medium budget live, and he'll tell me what to do. I like the low budget life. I like the low budget life. I wanted to talk about a little something. I just got in right here. You know, I've been doing some bait top 10 lists. No top 10 this week or last week. Working on a new one. Somebody actually commented below, and this is my ADD, and I apologize, and I'll get to this. Top 10 lakes that you would break quarantine to go to. And I'm going to do that. I think that'd be fun, but I want a fun guest for that. And maybe get stupid Darian to do that one. May do that one live and let y'all comment. But I wanted to talk about this crankbait, and this has been a long time coming for Sixth Sense, and I like new, I like shiny, and I like things that are innovative. And this is a patent-pending design, okay? Let's see how well you can see that. This is called the Axis 2.0 Sixth Sense, but it's a square bill, so you can see. Square bill bottom. Oh, yeah, Luke, it's a square bill. It's a normal square bill. No, it's not. This bill, listen to that. I'm putting it in the camera, not the microphone. Listen to the bill. So that thing knocks back and forth. It's like a chatterbait blade. It's a metal lip, and it moves on an axis. But this is an all-original design, designed by Sixth Sense and a good friend of mine. And the bill moves, so this thing has a crazy erratic action. That's a really good-looking color right there, too. Look at this one. Got a couple more down in the boat that I'm trying to do some filming with right now. But Sixth Sense Axis, y'all go check this thing out. This is something they've really invested a lot in and have worked on for a very long time, but will be coming out very, very soon. They had some that went to Academy stores, about hook myself, and they're just now fixing to have these things full bore, and I think they got them on the website. But go and use code DUNK10 if you want 10% off. But this is a very unique crankbait, very 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 cool crankbait. And I think that if you're a square bill fan, I think it's something that you'll want to have in your arsenal just because it's so different. You can go behind people and get bites. And like I said, I'm doing some filming with this right now, trying to get some video. Catches of them old biggins on the Tennessee River eating this, but very cool. The Axis, I wanted to mention that. Very, very cool. That's one thing that I will say that makes me proud to be a part of the Sixth Sense family is some of this, you know, just the original stuff that they do try to go out on a limb and take a chance on. I mean, this is crazy. This is a crazy design, and a lot of their big crankbaits are like that. The C20s, the C25s, those designs, that Movement ADX crankbait, just original stuff, and going out on a limb. So, shout out to those guys. This is a very cool design for sure. Thank you guys, as always. Thank y'all for listening. I really appreciate that. Hope y'all enjoyed that with Seth Fider. Comment below. Like I said, if you got a guest list, comment below. If you are listening to this driving down the road, pull over on the side of the road and send me a DM on the Instagram, the IG. If you got any guest ideas, we'll see who we can get fired up. I love that Fider interview. I thought that was a lot of fun. Hope y'all really enjoyed that as well. Thank y'all for everything. Please take care of yourselves right now. You know, this is like Fighter said, I hope we can rip this Band-Aid off soon, but still be washing your hands. Be using that hand sanitizer and be paying attention because this definitely does affect people when they get it, and we don't want to spread it any more than we already have. But hopefully we can get back to whatever normal is very, very soon. I will see y'all next week. I've got a couple fishing videos going up this week. One that went up yesterday, a big swim bait fail with Hudson. Y'all go give those a watch if you haven't. I get a lot more heat on the podcast than I do the fishing videos, but go check out the fishing videos. I think that you will enjoy them. I'm getting to fish with my kids a lot right now, and I like to think that they're really funny, and I know I love getting to capture those moments with them. But go check them out. I'm going to have a Boats and Pros for you hopefully soon. Tanner and I are starting to plan that. Tennessee's going to open up, and we're going to try to film with somebody in Tennessee, okay? Thank y'all. Make sure you hug your mama, and we are going to go out with Biloxi Blues like always. And I've said this the last 2 weeks, but I am going to try to do a live this week just because I need to, and it's fun. Hope y'all have a good week. See y'all. Town to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. And I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.